Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today, and I just want to extend a big thank you. We just got an awesome congregation. This has been one of the busiest weeks at our church that I can remember. We had Friend Day last week, and that was a great success. And if you came back after Friend Day, we're glad to have you here. Glad we didn't scare you away and that you're here again. But we had Friend Day, and then we went right into Kids Max Live. That was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and they served a meal each night. And then Josh and I helped out with a funeral on Wednesday for the DeBoer family. Many of you know Deb DeBoer, and her son had passed away. And so we did the funeral and had a meal here. So some of you pitched in for that. And then we had the Light for the Lost banquet Thursday night, which is kind of a missions banquet for our section, not just for our church, but for our section. And a lot of you helped out with that. So I just want to say a big thank you if you helped out with that. And it was just truly a busy week, but it was a good week just to look back and say, wow, that was good. So just a big thank you along those lines. All right, Matthew chapter 6. We're doing a series. It'll probably take us through the month of October, just entitled A Healthy You, just looking at how Scripture can impact and our relationship can impact our well-being, okay, our body, our soul, our mind, because they're all, honestly, you can get this in the scientific field, they're all connected, okay? If you're feeling things on the inside, anxiety and stress, we're going to talk a little bit about that. It affects your health. It affects your spiritual life. If you have a health issue, maybe out of your control, but you get injured, it affects your mood, okay? All those things. Or if you're going through a time of depression, just for whatever the case may be, that affects your spiritual walk. It'll affect your health as well. And so all those things are connected. In Proverbs, we read that last week from Proverbs 4, it says that if we obey the Scripture and the teachings of God and walk in a relationship with Him, that it will bring health, wholeness to our whole body. And so that's what we want to talk about in the next few weeks. And so last week we were in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So if you missed that, you can pull it up on our website. And our website is it's looking the best that it has probably ever since we've had a website. And we had to go through some new changes and uploading things. But I think it's looking pretty good and some great tools on there. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. So Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to head this week. And looking at ways that we can still build on what we talked about last week, and this morning probably dealing more with our priorities and our attitudes towards life, okay, and how they affect our health and well-being. And Jesus was always kind of pushing the status quo. He pushed the status quo of his time, and he's doing that for us as well. And by that I mean just the mentality, the paradigm, you know, I haven't heard that word used a lot, but paradigm is just kind of that way of looking at things for a business or for your life. And sometimes it's that process that you look at. And if you don't shift that, or if you adhere to one of our world, Jesus was saying you need to change your paradigm because it's affecting how you look at life. All right? And so Jesus kind of pushed the issue, the status quo. And this morning we probably talk more about priorities and getting things in the right priority. So first things first is what the message is entitled, of getting things in the right order. And so in our passage, Jesus is going to take on the people of his day and how they looked at life. And I believe he talks to us as well. So we're going to pick that up in verse 19. And if you join me as we read that this morning, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now, if you think we're going to talk about money this morning, we are a little bit, but it goes much deeper than that, okay? It actually deals a lot with trust. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart. There your heart is also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will see full light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and, my translation says, money. You can say the God of materialism there as well. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you take it, apply it to our hearts, speak life into your word this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. First things first. In this passage, Jesus, and what I love about the book of Matthew is he always talked about the heart. He wasn't so much concerned about our outward actions because he understood that what we think, what we do, how we behave all stems from the heart. So Jesus was concerned about the condition of the heart, not so much about the external things, because he understood that the real issue was the heart. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, in their day, they maybe had simple forms of banks, okay, during Jesus' day. It talks a little bit about that. So they probably had bankers on a very, very small level. But it probably wasn't at the same level that we have in our day and age with all the security and the safes. And your money's pretty secure, isn't it? Maybe. I don't know if it's any safer than it was back then. But back in those days, they would probably put it in a safe place. Maybe they'd put it in that pot in the corner that just seemed inconspicuous. And they would hide their stash, their gold, their silver, their money in there, save it, their savings, or what they wanted to invest in. But it was always susceptible to the elements, to being taken, somebody breaking in and stealing it. And in our day and age as well, we can store up things, we can put it in the bank, okay? And, you know, it's supposed to be secured, it's supposed to be guaranteed, but there is no guarantee of that. If you had your money in the stock market back in 2008, you probably lost about 40% of what you had in there, okay? And there is risk with that. But we can put it in a house, and we can put it in other things, a car. And, you know, those things are great, but what? It can be there one day, and it can be gone the next. You can have a tornado come through. You can have a hurricane come through, a hailstorm. I mean, those things are here today, and they're gone tomorrow. They rust. They wear out. You know, if anybody can kind of counteract that, they're going to have a buy on the market. But whatever we invest in here on earth, there's a problem because it's temporal. It's only here for a moment and for a time. But that was the paradigm during Jesus' day. You have money, you invest it in something here on earth, right? Has that changed? No. Today, if you have money, you're going to invest it. You're going to buy houses. You're going to buy land. You're going to buy clothes. You're going to buy a car. You're going to buy a house. Now, God knows that we need all those things. But we can invest in all those things. And see, the paradigm hasn't really changed. We still deal with that today. And so Jesus is saying, you know what? Yeah, you need to take care of your earthly needs. He's going to talk more about that down the page. He's not talking about saving or having an emergency fund. We talk about that in the Dave Ramsey course. But I think what he's really getting at is investing all that we have in the things of this earth, not having a balance in all that. And so he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but instead put them in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there also is your heart. And see, what Jesus was getting at is that we have to free ourselves a little bit from the hold of materialism and the things of this world. And when we invest so much in this world, it gets a hold on our life. And Jesus was wanting to free our heart, to keep us a proper perspective. And so he says the best way we can do that is to give towards God and his kingdom. We're going to talk more about how we can do about that. Right. He says in verse 22, he says, if your eye is bad, and can you? We can all imagine that, right? Our eyes, if you were to close your eyes and you can't see anything, or if you're like me, you have glasses, and I illustrated a little bit that last week, that you're all blurry now, okay? Okay, because my eyes are probably not perfect. I am nearsighted. But when our eyes aren't right, it changes our perspective on life. And so Jesus was trying to get their perspective, the lens that they look through life, he was trying to get it appropriate. Because if your vision isn't right, if your priorities aren't right, it's going to affect the outcome. Okay? So he says we need to adjust that so that we see clearly. And he comes to the bottom line here in verse 24. And he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he's going to love one and hate the other, or vice versa. You cannot serve both God, and the NIV says money. And that's fairly accurate, but it means more materialism. The God, it's more than that. It's more than money. It's things. Materialism is what we call it. And if that is what we are seeking after, our treasure, our heart is here on this earth. It's not in the things of God. Now, how do we break that? I think what Jesus was really pointing to, there's a way that we can break that within our own lives. And we can do that by giving. By giving and investing things that are eternal in heaven, we free our heart from the greed and the materialism that desires to control our life and capture our heart. So the point in your bulletin there is that give to keep your affection, the affections of your heart in check. Give to keep the affections of your heart in check. Now, Dave Ramsey will talk about that. That giving is a healthy thing for us. Because if we all we do is we take in and we hold it for ourselves, we become a greedy person that nobody wants to be around. We become the Scrooge. We got Christmas coming up. We become the Scrooge that nobody wants to be around. Who wants to be around a greedy person that doesn't want to share? Giving, what it does is that it frees us from the grip and the hold that materialism can have on our life. Now, being wealthy is not a bad thing. I think whether we are, whatever income scale we are on or what resources we have, God calls us to be generous. He's saying, I don't have much. Well, the what you have, be generous with. Now, Jesus praised the widow with a mite. Okay, a mite was probably like our penny, okay? And they were watching, Jesus and the disciples are watching people give at the temple the one day. And, you know, I can see some of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they came and they were all dressed up. They looked nice and they're putting in their $100 bills. Maybe even one dropped in a $1,000 bill, okay? And they made sure they waved it around before they stuck it in. And then comes this widow who probably didn't have enough food maybe for her day. Provision for her life. And she drops in a penny. And everybody just probably think, a penny, look at that. I gave my 100, I gave my 1,000. I gave my 10, my 50. She only put in a penny. And Jesus says, you know what? She's given more than anybody here today. Because everybody else gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of all that she had. She gave all that she had. And she was trusting God. Giving frees our heart and keeps our affections of our heart, so it makes sure that our affections are on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Because you can invest in a house and all those good things, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But if those things steal our heart, Jesus says he can only serve one master. And if those things steal our heart, we lose out on our relationship with God. It's not overnight. It is gradual, but they get it. It has a grip on our heart. Give to keep the affections of your heart in check. Now, there's ways you can give. You know, the obvious thing, we're in church. You know, you're probably expecting me to say give to the church. Well, yeah, I mean, that's something that Scripture calls us to do, okay? We're to give of our tithes and our offerings. That is a way of worship. That is what God calls us to do, okay? But it's so much more beyond that, folks. We are to give to the needs of the poor and to the needy and those that are around us that we see in need. You don't have to, you know, give what God calls you to the church, but what about the neighbor next door that you see just needs a hand. And maybe it's sometimes it's cash. Maybe it's sometimes going over and mowing their yard or doing something like that. But giving to the needs of the poor, of those that are less fortunate, and helping out with that. Maybe you're going to give to a ministry that helps out to do that with a People City Mission. We've had Pastor Tom Barber here and speak to us. We got Crete Cares coming up here with Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have that coming up. We usually take up an offering around Thanksgiving for Crete Cares and also for Convoy of Hope to help with needs around the world. I've been to Haiti to see what they do there. Those are ways that we can give. You know, when you go to some of those countries, you think, I know a lot of us here in America say, man, we're in a tough economy and I just don't have much. But I can guarantee you, you probably have 10 times more, maybe 100 times more than some of those people have. Put it in perspective. We're a very blessed nation and we have a lot. Giving helps to free the affections of our heart and keep it focused on God. Maybe you give to spreading the gospel. We had the Light for the Lost banquet here Thursday night, just talking about to missions. And the speaker was from Sri Lanka, Buddhist country, some Muslim there, Islam, some Christianity. They said Christianity makes up about 1%. But, you know, a lot of the pastors, they maybe have a Bible, but that is the only library. Okay, you go into my office. Do I have a few books in there? Yeah, I got a few. But for some of those pastors, they don't, and a lot of the believers don't have a copy of God's Word. And some of us have 3, 4, 5 copies in our house, each of us. And there's people in the world, around the world that don't have even one copy. Their church maybe has one copy. And so he just talked about $15 allows them to translate a study Bible into their language and get them the hands of the pastors. And these study Bibles provide a lot of the tools and the study resources that they need. And I was in Belize teaching for 2 weeks, and the missionary took me up into the jungle the 1 week. It was a pretty cool experience. Okay, they do have running water. They do have one line going into their hut, thatched roofs, and kind of just wood walls. Okay, just take a 1x6 that you would go to the lumber yard, you know, 8 feet high, and you slap it up against the wall. That's their walls, okay? And the thatched roof. They cook in their houses. But, you know, this pastor that I got to know up there, he takes a bicycle 45 minutes to go to church in this other community. And it takes him 45 minutes on his bike, and it's not on a paved road. It's on a bumpy gravel road. He rides his bike there. He preaches the message. But he's only had just a little bit of Bible school, probably not even quite a year. He had no books, no resources, some of the things that I just take for granted. He didn't have any. And so, you know, he just talked about for $15 you can get a Bible into somebody's hand. That seems pretty, all of us could probably do that once a week. We could find a way to put $15 away to make a difference in the life of the kingdom of God. You know, those are the ways that we can give. And we can sometimes even give in ways that probably are not going to hurt us that much. But it also helps us to keep our affections on the things of God. Amen? But Jesus wanted to go deeper into the issue of the heart, of maybe why we don't give, okay, and why we don't give more. So he goes into verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I know none of you worry." Right? And I think that is one of the main reasons why we sometimes are reluctant to give, is because of worry. What if I give too much and I don't have enough for myself? Okay? Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are much more valuable than they are. Who of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes, how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do not worry. That's probably one of the reasons why we are at times reluctant. We don't know what the future is going to hold, right? And so I think we need to save. We need to have an emergency fund, as Dave Ramsey says, because a rainy day will come. It's not a matter of if it will come. It will come. Your tires are going to wear out. The transmission's going to go out. Your roof is going to get hailed out. You know, things happen in life. You're going to have a medical issue. You need to plan for a rainy day, okay? That's just common sense. But there is a line that we cross where we move to where that all we care about is investing in ourselves and what we want. And Jesus says, you know what? Do not worry about some of those things because I'm going to take care of you. Isn't that what he's saying here? I'm going to take care of you. Look at the birds of the air. They don't have a 401k, do they? They don't have an account at Pinnacle Bank. I don't even think they have gold stored away in their nest someplace. Although we did find out we do have a mouse in our house that's storing away pretty good. Heard him this morning. Going to take care of him. He's pretty smart mouse. He's in our pantry, so he's not stupid. All right? He's storing away. And eating some too, I think. So. God takes care of the birds of the air, doesn't he? You know, just look how he provides for them. And then he goes to the lilies of the field. You know, something so simple as flowers. And just the beauty of nature that God has provided. You know, we can try to recreate some things that are pretty incredible. But still, one of the most beautiful things about nature is the flowers, the scenery. It's hard to match that. God says, you know what? If I can provide for all these things of nature, can't I take care of you? You're much more worthy than a daisy or a flower that is here today and gone tomorrow. You're a creation of mine. You're a child of God. I love you. And I care for you. I take care of those things. I'm going to provide for you. He goes, you know, the pagans run after. Pagans would be a word just for people that don't have the knowledge or relationship with God. They run after these material things. And you know what? I find out in the church and believers, we sometimes get caught up in that same race. We take on that paradigm, that mindset. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things, but when that becomes our pursuit, when that becomes what we seek after, it's going to leave us hollow. It's going to leave us empty. And it's going to leave us pursuing after the wrong things. And so the heart of the matter here is that we give to keep our infections of our heart in check. But secondly, Jesus says we need to trust the provision of God. See, the heart of the matter is trust. Do we trust God? If we were to take a poll, and if Jesus was to be able to take that lie detector and just beam it into our heart, what would it say? We call ourselves a Christian. We say we believe in God. We trust in Him for salvation. But do we trust Him for food, for clothing, and for the provision of our life? For the day that we don't understand or when life changes, do we actually really trust Him in all that? Do we trust Him? You know, I thought I trusted Him. If you go back, we've been here going on 8 years. 7.5, not quite that. 3 years, so yeah, about 12 years ago. I thought I trusted God. Okay, I was a pastor, I was in a relationship with God, you know. And we were in a comfortable spot as far as financial and that provision. It was an okay spot. But God began to challenge me and say, this isn't where I want you, this is where I want you to be. And we said, God, we can't do that. It doesn't make sense to do that financially. It doesn't make sense. We can't do that. My wife says, we can't do that. Well, she's the one that says that. But I didn't disagree. But God began to really address the issue of trust and faith in my life. And he even brought in we were managing a campgrounds at that time, a Bible camp, somewhat like Lexington, Nebraska. And there was some guest speakers in for a Chi Alpha retreat for college kids. And the speaker talked about faith, and I just happened to be in there. And God just nailed me so hard just about my faith in Him. Did I really have faith in Him that He would provide for me, that if I took the step that He was calling me to take, even though it didn't make sense in the human side of things, that God would provide. And so God began preparing our heart, and all of a sudden things began to move really quickly. And we made a move. Within 2 weeks, we were moved to a new location. And God provided a job for my wife, not for me at that time. And so I found myself being a physical therapy aide, and I was doing stuff that I wasn't accustomed to doing. And then I got on at Global University, and something that was a little more where I felt like I fit a little bit. We went down there with some debt, not a terrible amount of debt, but then I was going, working on a master's degree, expected to leave with a lot of debt. And that first 6 months were pretty tough, folks. We had to depend on Amy's family a little bit. They took us in, and it was pretty stressful. We hadn't been in that situation for a while. And it was pretty tough. But you know what? Soon I was getting paid a little more, and she's getting paid a little more, and we were able to pay the bills completely by ourselves. And by the time we left there, we had debt, and I had school debt. But by the time we left, we were completely debt-free, and we had money to put down on a down payment to move to Springfield, Missouri. And I remember telling God, I said, God, man, I'm glad I passed this test of faith. It's kind of like, whew, made it, you know? I'm done for the rest of my life. And the minute I said that, you know what God said? It's to prepare you for the next test. And God called us to Crete. And that was another step of faith for us. But it was good to have that one out of the way, because I realized, you know what, God, you took us through that. You're going to take us to the next one. Trust the provision of God. And, you know, we can read about it in God's Word, but when we really live it out in our lives, it's when we have to pay those bills or we have to trust God for some of these things. And we say, God, how is all that going to work out? But God is able to take care of those things in our life. And we have to be willing to trust Him in all that, because He loves us more than He does the lilies and the daisies of the field. Trust the provision of God. And Jesus sums it up like this. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And see, Jesus wasn't saying that we don't need clothes, we don't need house, we don't need all this. He's saying what's important is that our first priority is Him. That it is Him that we seek, not these other things. But it's Him that we seek. And the illustration that I like here is that a horse and a carriage, okay? A horse and a carriage. Were you able to find a picture, Chris? There it is, the horse and the carriage. Now, if it is set up the way it's supposed to, the horse is out front and the carriage is behind. And when that happens, the carriage just naturally kind of just falls in behind, right? The horse. Okay? Now, you still have the reins to guide it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But the carriage goes pretty naturally that way. But if the horse goes backwards and the carriage is in the front, you're going to probably end up someplace other than the street. You're going to, you know, jackknife it. Now, a good person can steer it, and they could probably back it up, but it probably doesn't go, it's not very effective, and you're going to probably go in circles and run into something. It's designed to have the horse in front and the carriage behind, and the carriage follows behind. That's what I kind of see here, is that when we have Jesus, He's our first priority, and we seek Him first, and He's in front, we seek after Him, the kingdom of God is there. Then us, the other things, the carriage part, clothes, the food, the house, that all follows in behind when He's in front. But when we try to put that other stuff in front, a lot of times it ends up we crash, okay? Or we make mistakes. We're not going anywhere fast because we got things mixed up. We don't have the first things first. We got the cart before the carriage. I mean, the cart before the horse. You ever heard that expression? That's what I was getting at. And things don't go well. The thing that I see here, it's the third point in your bulletin there, is right priorities lead to right results. Right priorities lead to right results. See, Jesus is talking about money. And why is he talking about money? Because it's a huge issue in our lives. One of the biggest reasons that people get divorced is over finances. Okay? One of the biggest reasons that we have worry in our life and anxiety is over finances. It's a big thing. One of the reasons that people may be led away from God is probably finances. It's a big thing in our lives, folks. And it can easily steal the place in our lives that God has intended for him. We're talking about health in a holistic way, of body, soul, and mind. And one of the ways that we can move towards health is by having right priorities in our life, looking at life in the right perspective. If our priority is to get rich, to have all the nice things, the pursuit of the material things, it leaves us empty. It doesn't do anything for us for eternity. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But if we put Christ first, then everything else falls in place. And I think the neat thing is that whatever we give towards God is for eternity. The things in this earth is, you can't take that with you. There used to be a song by Ray Bolts that says, just talked about giving. Thank you for giving to the Lord is what it was called. And he just said, you know, our giving, sometimes we don't always see the results of it. But say like the Light for the Lost banquet on Thursday night, we give $15 and that goes to get a Bible in the hand of a pastor or somebody else in Sri Lanka. And that pastor now has a book and a Bible and study resources, and he pastors a congregation, and he reaches people in that nation. Not only have you affected for the eternity, not only the pastor's life, but also those his life touches. And not only that, the people his life touches, now they reach other people. And they reach other people. It's kind of like multiplication, right? Just think how many lives you touch just by one gift and one offering. Pretty cool. One of the movies that I saw in the last, 3 years ago, is The Bucket List. Anybody seen The Bucket List? It has a little bit of some rough language in it. My mom wouldn't like it. Right, Mom? But it has Jack Nicklaus and Morgan Freeman in there. And it's called The Bucket List because these two guys are in the hospital. They both have terminal illness. And Jack, the character that played by Jack Nicklaus, is the owner of these hospital chains. And he's stuck in a room with Morgan Freeman, who was just a kind of a blue-collar worker. He'd worked hard most of his life and helped put his kids through college and made a lot of sacrifices along the way. It's not like he was poor, but he didn't have a lot, maybe in the world's perspective. Jack Nicklaus had a lot. But he had a lot of money. Didn't have family. He'd pushed them all away and didn't have much. They end up in the same room together, and Jack Nicklaus is a little bit upset because he owns the hospital chain now. He has to share a room. He doesn't get his own private room. They said, well, you passed that. You know, that was one of our policies, that to save money, we're going to have to share a room. You have to share a room. Otherwise, you're... And so it kind of gets off to a hard start, but eventually there's a friendship that's formed. And Morgan Freeman was writing a bucket list of things he wanted to do before he kicked the bucket. And he threw it into the trash, thinking, you know what, it's never going to happen. Jack picks it up and sees that, and he realizes what he's doing. And he goes, you know what? They both got well enough through chemo treatment and other things that they were able to get out of the hospital. He says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create a bucket list, and we're going to go do that. I have the money. You have the time. Let's go do it. And so they began to fulfill this bucket list. And eventually they didn't complete everything. But they completed most of it, and it was time to go back. Morgan Freeman had to get back. His health was beginning to deteriorate. He gets back home, and he goes unconscious and he passes away a couple of days after getting home. But I love that movie because it shows the contrast of one that had their affections and their heart in the right place and one who didn't. And so when Morgan Freeman dies and passes into eternity, he's surrounded by his family that loves him and is there for him, surrounded him. He has a faith in God, and so that's part of it. He goes into eternity with his faith in God, into the presence of God. And it was good. It was good. And Jack sees this, and he's in turmoil because he doesn't have the relationships. The people that are part of his family that he's supposed to love, he's pushed away by things he said, things that have happened. And he sees the life of Morgan Freeman, and he says, you know what? He begins to make changes in his own life to restore relationships. He had the wealth, but his priorities were wrong. He was chasing after the wrong thing. And he was able to change some things so that he was able to restore some of those relationships. He found out what was important. I'm going to have the musicians come. See, it's about having things in the right order. Worry, stress, anxiety, they can send you to the hospital. I know. I was there once. It was down those Springfield days. A lot of stress, being a full-time student, having work, difficulty financially. I remember going to the hospital the one day with chest pains, thought I was going to die. Really did. Ran the tests. Nah, you just have a bad, bad, bad case of acid reflux. It took me several months. I thought I could never have coffee again. It took me several months to just, I had to take out any acid or anything like that. I'd sit down and pay the bills and I could just feel it would come back because I was worried about all that stuff. I don't know if I'm totally cured from worrying, from anxiety. I'm glad God is gracious, amen? God's gracious. God loves us. His unfailing love. And God wants to help us. He wants us to have a healthy perspective on life, that we can trust Him, that we can be His channel to meet the need of the kingdom of God, whether it's helping out at the prison ministry, the jail ministry up in Lincoln, Nebraska. That made a difference in Don's life. That's how she came to know Christ, through friends and people in the jail. Now she's out there influencing other people. To get our perspective right. And there's some of you that are, you've wrestled with some of these things. God says, just put me first. Put me out front. The rest of the things are going to fall in behind. Amen. I'm going to sing that chorus, Never Once, just talking about the faithfulness of God. Would you stand this morning? Will you just allow the Holy Spirit just to seal this message in your heart?